This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Something's Brewing, your Texas Longhorn football recruiting podcast. I am your long-lost host, Jason Sukumel, and just plugging away. Apologies for my absence of late. I don't have a good excuse, because Lord knows I've got quarantine time to kill. It's just falling through the cracks as I try to keep my head above water in this house of six of mine. So hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody's healthy, you and your family. Hope you're staying healthy, you listeners. I hope your family's staying healthy and staying well. So, you know, I'm just, like I said, plugging away on Orange Bloods during this shutdown. I've got my four kids, my wife and my four kids at home with me, so I can't promise that you're not going to hear some yelling or fighting or somebody barging into my office here, or my neighbor's dogs barking, or who the hell knows what you might hear on this podcast, but we'll just power through it and pretend like it, whatever it is, it didn't happen. So, you know, like I said, just kind of staying in my routine, and I have not been into a store, any kind of store. It's been easy. I've lost track of the days, but it's been well over a month. I mean, I've done curbside pickup at HEB and Walmart, but that's it, man. I've gone out to, I think I filled my tank up with gas once. You know, I'm still getting out in the yard and getting out around the neighborhood, going for walks. I'm actually socializing with my neighbors here and there. We do some social distancing happy hours where we sit in the driveway and everybody spreads out, our neighbors across the street, and have a cocktail. But just trying to maintain some semblance of normalcy during all of this, with my kids, with their schooling, and with certainly with my work on Orange Bloods. And I need to pick that up on the podcast. I know that, and I apologize to you loyal listeners for my extended delay there. So, but yeah, again, hope everybody's doing well and appreciate y'all hanging in there with me on these podcasts. So let's talk a little bit recruiting here. This is not going to be a long podcast. It's, as I record, it's Tuesday afternoon. I have somewhere to be. Actually, I'm supposed to be there in 20 minutes. I'm going to be a little bit late, but that's okay. We can knock out a quick podcast here. We're obviously in a shutdown. I mean, you can't leave the house. That's not accurate. But, you know, I mean, social distancing, quarantine, schools are shut down for the rest of the year. Recruiting keeps plugging away. It's just a different kind of recruiting than what we're used to and what we thought we'd be covering. We thought we'd be covering Texas's spring football season, and players would be coming in for practices, and official visits would be starting in April, and then the coaches would be going out doing spring evaluation period coming up, and obviously none of that is happening. So what you're having now is a lot of virtual recruiting, if you will, a lot of Zoom meetings, FaceTime meetings, so they can kind of get some face-to-face interaction, if you will. Phone calls, of course, DMs, text messages. It's all technology-based is what we're doing here. Now, it's funny. You know, I've talked to several recruits. I'm still calling those guys. I'm still checking with them. It's kind of weird when I call these guys. I mean, you know, he's just asking them about recruiting. And I mean, there's not a whole lot going on. They can tell me who they're talking to, but you know, nobody knows what visits they're going to take or when they're going to take them or when they'll be allowed to take them. I mean, right now, school, it'll be June 1st at the earliest before student athletes can take official visits. And I expect that deadline is probably going to maybe even get pushed back even further, but we're under a dead period until June 1st as it stands right now. But I have to kind of get a little bit creative on some of my content on Orange Bloods. I've done some Q&As, my 3-2-1 column I'm still doing. I'm rotating those every other week, is what I'm doing. So this week was a 3-2-1. Next week I'll do a Q&A with the Orange Bloods readers. Recruiting updates are still plugging away. Texas is still offering guys and stuff. Like, for instance, this week, though, on my 3-2-1, I thought it was interesting. I was kind of wondering about some of these freshmen early enrollees, guys that started up at Texas in January. Now, here it is, you know, whatever, 2 months later, they get sent back home, and now they're not getting to go through spring football. I'd really like to talk to Hudson Card. I think he'd be an interesting one, and I may reach out to his family in the next week or something. But technically, we can't interview the players because once they're Texas Longhorn student athletes, we have to go through the Texas Sports Information Department to get permission to interview these guys. So instead, what I did was I called Vernon Broughton's mother, Yolanda Wells Broughton, and talked to her this week. And I thought it was pretty interesting. I hope the readers did too. First off, Yolanda is like seriously just an amazing woman. And when I talk, I actually told my wife this last night, my wife goes, I think you have a crush on her. But I just said, you know, every time I talk to Yolanda, she's just so uplifting. And I get off the phone and I just feel good about myself and about just life in general. She's such a positive person and just a wonderful person. It really is. But anyways, I was talking to her about her son, Vernon, of course, the Texas signee defensive end who went to Texas for a couple months and is now back home with her. And I just said, well, how's Vernon handling all this? And how are you handling it? She goes, well, she goes, it feels like my household doubled in size. Now that Vernon's back home, you got him 280 pounds, 18-year-old taking up so much space and eating all your food. But she said, you know, Vernon is handling it well. He's missing his teammates and missing the football aspect of it. But I was kind of taken aback. She said he's spending about 8 hours a day doing Zoom meetings and just schoolwork / football work. And I'm like, man, that's a pretty heavy workload. I mean, honestly, that's about as much or more that you probably take, you know, when he's on campus. If you figure he's taking 2 or 3 classes a day, and then of course you got study hours and things of that nature. But 8 hours, I mean, that's a hell of a lot more time than my high school kid, my middle school kids, and my elementary school kid. They're probably putting in about 8 hours combined, all 4 of them. I feel like they're getting off easy. But I thought it was interesting. She said Vernon is doing so much school activities and football activities that he doesn't have a lot of downtime, and he is going out and working out with some other neighborhood kids, and just actually a UT player was working out with them. She said while social distancing, they were still social distancing, but they're working out, and Vernon's kind of leading some workouts. So it was good to check in and good to hear that they're doing well, and Vernon Broughton's doing well, staying busy, staying physically active. But let's talk about some actual recruits. Kind of the news this week, a couple things to talk about. The main things to talk about, I guess, if you will. I checked in with Hallettsville running back Jonathan Brooks. I hadn't talked to Jonathan it was the Rivals Houston camp. So this was back in like, I think it was late February. Okay. So, and when I talked to him there, he showed up wearing a UT hoodie, and you know, he obviously likes Texas a lot. Texas was his first offer, and Texas Tech was the other school he was considering quite a bit. Said he was kind of genuinely torn. He loved everything about Texas, of course, the championship, the reputation, the tradition, but he liked Texas Tech. He said, hey, I think, you know, Texas Tech, I could go in and play early and play right away. So that was appealing to him. But I checked in with Jonathan Brooks again this week, and kind of status quo there. He's had some new schools talking to him, like Arizona. LSU reached out at one point. I think Washington has been recruiting him. But he kind of said, you know, it's still Texas and Texas Tech mostly. Actually, Texas State's been recruiting him. So he's kind of taking a peek there. But I don't think they'll be much of a factor. But the big development with Jonathan Brooks, I asked him, I said, hey, are you still thinking that you want to take your time with this, or, you know, does this maybe change things? A lot of guys seem to be moving their timelines up, interestingly, to lock in their spots. Some guys are going to push things back. And I said, what are you thinking? And he said that he is contemplating and strongly considering moving his timeline up. He basically told me he's going to commit pretty soon. And I was thinking, whoa, what does that mean? Like next week or two? And he goes, no, nah, probably be this summer sometime. But, you know, summer's coming up. What? We're late April. So we're talking 5 weeks, and technically school is out for summer, if you will. As goofy as that sounds to say out loud. But, so look for Jonathan Brooks to make a decision maybe in the next month or two. And I feel strongly that it's going to be Texas after talking to him this week. If Texas wants to push for his commitment, I think Jonathan Brooks winding up anywhere else, including Texas Tech, would be surprising. So keep an eye on Jonathan Brooks as a potential commitment for Texas in the, you know, in the upcoming next couple of months. You know, people say, what does that mean if Texas takes Jonathan Brooks at running back? Does that mean that they're not going to get a guy like LJ Johnson, Kamar Wheaton? I said, no. Listen, Jonathan Brooks would be a very nice complimentary back to one of those two guys. Texas is still going after LJ Johnson. They're still going after Kamar Wheaton. I mean, come on, Kamar's the number one running back in the country, man. They're not going to back down on him, and he's a guy that they've put in a lot of work already. So if Texas could get Brooks, Jonathan Brooks, which I think is going to happen, get one of those other two running backs, LJ or Kamar, that's a pretty good haul, man, especially coming on the heels of signing Bijan Robinson last year. So if Stan Drayton can pull that off, tip of the cap to Stan Drayton. He's a guy that, it's funny, this time last year when it looked like Bijan Robinson might wind up at Ohio State, you know, everybody was really beating up Stan Drayton for his recruiting efforts or lack of recruiting success, if you will. Suddenly he gets Bijan Robinson. Now it looks like he's probably going to land Jonathan Brooks. If he can get one of those other two that I mentioned, you know, LJ Johnson and Kamar Wheaton, well, that's pretty darn impressive by Drayton. And then suddenly you've got a full and an impressive running back room. And, you know, and listen, he's already doing a good job. Drayton is in 2022 recruiting as well. I was, you know, I talked last week to Jaden Blue, who is a Rivals 100 back and the top back in the state of Texas for 2022. And I mean, Texas is way up on his list. And I think Texas might be the favorites there. Now, if they get all these other guys I'm talking about, that could cause Jaden Blue to maybe reconsider. Maybe he winds up somewhere else, but we're getting way down the road there. But bottom line is, Drayton's done a good job in recruiting. Still has to close the deal on some of these guys, but getting Bijan Robinson was a hell of a start. Getting Jonathan Brooks would be a good addition to this class if they could maybe land another guy with him. Another guy new to the radar, I've not talked to him about him on this podcast at all, but he's a very recent offer. I think it was just last week Texas offered him. Jaden Williams, a linebacker out of South Oak Cliff. Interesting kind of story. Texas offers him. I talked to him later that day, and he tells me, yeah, man, Texas is my dream school. And I mean, he's just really talking up Texas quite a bit. I mean, I immediately put in my future cast pick on Rivals for Jaden Williams to wind up at Texas. Now, he came out last week and said he's going to announce on May 1st. So we're 10 days away from that? 10 days away from that. And he put out his top six yesterday. Texas, Arizona State, SMU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Kansas was the sixth one. I've got my future cast on Texas. I'm still leaving it there. I talked to him last night, and he kind of gave me the rundown of his top six or the breakdown of why those schools are on his list. And I just can't ignore his comments about, hey, Texas has always been my dream. It's always, since I was a kid, it's been a dream to play at Texas. That's tough to ignore, man. So that being said, there is other people I've talked to, you know, an SMU source or a reporter who talked to his SMU sources. SMU is very confident in this one. I think Arizona State's a sneaky play there. He's really, Jaden Williams really likes Herm Edwards. He really likes Kansas. He's got some teammates up at Kansas. All that being said, I'm putting my money on Texas for now. I got 10 days. He did tell me, Jaden Williams, I got 10 days to change that, but he did tell me last night that his mind is not made up yet. He said he wants to talk to his coach. So he's got a couple, he said, that are kind of on top of the list right now, but he hasn't really settled on one. So there could be some movement there. And what kind of player is Jaden Williams? He's certainly under the radar, but I think that's going to change. If you watch his film, this is a guy who, I mean, played wide receiver. Now he's playing linebacker, kind of an edge rusher. He's wiry. He's not real big. He's still skinny. Of course, he needs to add weight, as you would expect, being a former wide receiver. But I mean, just cat quick off the ball, and even if the blocker is in front of him, they just can't get their hands on him. His ability to elude blocks and shed blocks is just extremely impressive. He's 6'2", 194 is the height and weight there. Now, if he can, you know, get up to 220 and keep that kind of quickness, he said he's run a 4.4 before. I think this guy is a very much underrated prospect if he can maintain that speed. Like I watched this film and I was talking to him. I said, man, you move almost like a point guard to me. I mean, he's so shifty and so quick. And it's like trying to stop a cat quick point guard. You just can't stay in front of him. And he said, well, that's interesting you say that, because he goes, I actually play basketball. I said, ah, but you were probably like a forward, right? And he goes, no, I play some power forward, but I actually play point guard too. And I go, oh, well, my evaluation was spot on. It makes sense. I mean, he moves on the football field like almost like a point guard does on the hard court, with just how quick he is and his cuts and his ability to get around guys. It's pretty impressive. So Jaden Williams is going to be deciding on May 1st. So we'll be keeping an eye on that one. Strong chances in the Texas class, but it's not the lock that some people thought it might be. when Texas offered him. Landon Jackson's another defensive end target for Texas. I talked to Landon. He's out of Texarkana, of course. I talked to Landon about a week ago, and kind of status quo there. I mean, Ohio State kind of fell off, which is the only real new development for Landon. He's just kind of waiting. He wants to take his visits, and he's like everybody else. He's like, hey, man, I'm just kind of waiting to see when I can do those. And he was supposed to have taken his Texas A&M official visit last weekend. Obviously, that didn't happen. So he'll reschedule those. You know, Washington's still involved there. Texas is heavily involved there. Texas A&M. I think that one's going to come down to Texas or Texas A&M. I know a lot of people are kind of penciling him in for Texas already. I think that's a bit early. I think he's genuinely pretty open. I think he's going to take those visits. You know, I think Texas's chances are right there with A&M, but I wouldn't necessarily call Texas the outright leader right now. I think A&M is going to be a strong play. His dad played basketball at A&M, so you know, Marcus Burris, his teammate, probably will wind up at A&M, so that could impact things. But Texas is certainly right there within striking distance for Landon Jackson. That'd be a heck of a pickup. He's a tremendous talent as a defensive end. This is a guy who's 6'6", 240, moves well, just a tremendous frame. I mean, just everything, like everything about him. So there's some defensive line talk. The other kind of big development this week is, honestly, just Texas is just flooding these out-of-state prospects with offers. It's, you know, I wrote about it in my column today, and I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'm trying to pull that up. But the ratio isn't so different, okay? It's like 42% of their offers in this class are for in-state prospects, so 58% are out-of-state players. That seems awfully high, but I went back and looked at the 2020 class. It was about the same. 2019, it was actually a lot higher than that for out-of-state offers. But what's unique, I think, about this year is all these out-of-state offers just seem to be, not all of them, of course, but a lot of them seem to be happening over the last few weeks as these coaches are home. They're having a lot more time to evaluate film, and they're identifying these prospects and reaching out and offering them. You've seen a ton of out-of-state offers go out in the last few weeks, and it's kind of interesting times because they can't take recruits can't take visits. There's a lot of thought that maybe players may decide to stay closer to home this year because of the coronavirus pandemic. Maybe mom and dad want them closer to home. Maybe they can't afford to travel. Maybe they won't be able to take as many visits, so players may wind up staying closer to home. Yet Texas is sending out a ton of out-of-state offers. Now, I'm not sure how that's going to pay off in the long run. I mean, I think it's going to be tough, but it is interesting when I talk to these out-of-state players that Texas has offered, I think every single one of them has told me, yeah, man, hey, I've got a legit interest in Texas to the point where they want to set up visits. They want to get to Austin for visits. You know, I talked to Dallas Thomas, who's a linebacker, defensive lineman out of Fort Lauderdale that Texas offered. He said Texas is probably one of his top six or seven schools, so there's a good chance Texas will get an official visit out of him at some point. Arden Walker is a defensive lineman out of the Denver area, just outside of Denver. Interesting story there. I mean, I didn't know anything about this kid, but Texas offered him, so I called him up. First off, great kid. Love talking to him. It was unique. Whenever we hung up, he goes, hey, thanks for the interview. This was really fun. And I was like, you know, I think in 20 years, that's the first time anybody's actually told me that it was fun to be interviewed. So Arden Walker is a real pleasant kid, but really good player. He's got a lot of offers, but it's funny. His dad is from Houston. His dad is Arthur Walker, played at Colorado University, went on to play for the Oakland Raiders. His dad is from Houston, so Arden still has family in Houston. He told me his dad was an inch away from signing with the University of Texas before Bill McCartney, the former coach at Colorado, came in and won over his, it would be Arden's grandmother, so his father's mother, won her over and got him to go to Colorado. He goes to Colorado, he goes on and plays in the NFL, and now they live in outside of the Denver area. So there are some kind of interesting Texas ties there for Arden Walker. And, I mean, if Texas pushes there, they've got a real shot with that guy. He was supposed to visit before the coronavirus shutdown. He did tell me as soon as it's lifted, he will make plans to get back down to Austin with his dad. He said his dad's super excited about the Texas offer. So Arden Walker is a name we haven't talked about before. Texas just offered him, I think it was on Sunday night of this week. I think there's a good chance that guy winds up in the class, depending on how the numbers work out at the defensive line position. But if Texas pushes there, I think there's a solid chance Arden Walker is in this class. Another guy I talked to this week is a cornerback, Damon Harmon, out of Virginia that Texas offered. Texas is offering a lot of out-of-state cornerbacks. Jay Valai is like, he must be just eyes deep into huddle, man, because he's doing a lot of scouting, a lot of evaluations, and a lot of offers to players. But Damon Harmon is a cornerback slash safety. He actually said he got the offer from Chris Ash, but you know, he's a guy that said, hey, you know, Texas wasn't really on my list before they offered, of course, and now that they've offered, he goes, this actually kind of works in their favor because I've got a lot of time to kind of do some research on Texas, and this could help elevate Texas up his list, he said. Now, I think when it push comes to shove, it'll be a bit of a long shot to get Damon Harmon, but, you know, he said, hey, there's a real good chance he takes a visit to UT at some point, so not out of the question. The Arden Walker kid out of Denver, that's the name to know of the out-of-state kids I've just been talking about. So we are about 20 minutes in, a little past that, so I'm going to wrap this up. Like I said, I've got to be somewhere. I got to get out of this house pretty soon to go help somebody out, help a family member out. Keep an eye later this week. I'm going to put it out here on the record. I am going to finish the recruiting board. That should be posted Wednesday night or Thursday morning. I started on it last week. That thing's a bitch to do, especially the first one when you're building it from scratch. So I'm about halfway done. I've got all the offense done. I've got some of the defense done. So that will be posted this week. So look for that probably Wednesday night, Thursday morning. I know if you're an Orange Blood subscriber and listening to this, people seem to like that recruiting board quite a bit. It's just, I hate that I ever started doing it because it is so time consuming to build it and then stay on top of updating it. But the readers like it, so we're going to keep doing it. But I should have that out later this week. So that is my podcast for this week. And again, my apologies for it being a while since I've had one. It's just kind of hard to stay focused, if I'm just being honest. I don't have any great excuse, but you know, I appreciate it. Everybody hanging in. I appreciate everybody listening. I appreciate everybody who is staying safe, staying smart. Stay safe, be smart. Take care of your family, everybody. Stay positive. Hopefully this will be over and we can get back to some normalcy in the near future. But you guys take care. Appreciate you listening. We'll talk soon.